Look with me, if you will, please, this morning to the wonderful book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at a very familiar passage there. For our guests, or for those who may not have been here for a little while, we've been in a series of sermons on unwrapping your spiritual gift. And today and next Sunday, in fact, we've got today and then two more Sundays, we'll be completing our series together. And I hope that it's been an enjoyable one for you. It's been a blessing for me to try to share the wonderful truths that we've discovered as we have unwrapped our spiritual gifts. And one of the things we've affirmed from the beginning, or tried to, is the fact that every believer is gifted by God by virtue of the new birth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you, the sovereignty of God decided that God has chosen a gift for you, and you are indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit to exercise that gift, spiritual gift, for God's glory and God's honor. The passage in Romans chapter 12 is the key passage we've looked at for several weeks. Let's look at it again together this morning. Beginning in let's start at verse 4. That's one or two verses back from where it's in your outline, but we'll start at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, or service, or hospitality, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth or encourages on exhortation or encouragement. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Today we've come to the last of the motivational spiritual gifts, the spiritual gift of mercy. And I have looked forward to our time together this morning, because it's such a wonderful theme to think about what the Bible says about mercy. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, it was Jesus who said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And the last act of our Lord on Calvary's cross was to extend grace and love and forgiveness to a thief who did not need judgment, but who needed mercy. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want to think together about the spiritual gift of mercy. But just before we do, let's take a moment and quickly recapture the sermon titles, sermons we looked at before. I know that you've heard this several times, but let me just give you a point of reference. All of you know that I am an avid watcher of all those deep, deep television series.
Gunsmoke.
Yes, Gunsmoke. I believe in heaven. There'll be, well, anyway. But they've been in a series now, and after the regular show is over with, then they go to How the West Was Won. And it is a long, long series of movies, of theaters, of shows, of programs. But before that new one begins, for example, this next week, they'll be up to this point. And they'll give you a brief summary of the program up to that point and catch you up. Well, let me kind of catch you up this morning. I've had one word from Danny this morning. It's a very spiritual word as he deals in the 30-some-odd degree temperatures out there fixing our lunch today. He said, "Pastor, a 20-minute sermon today would really be a good thing." So... this is with Danny in mind, all right? We have looked at a number of things as far as spiritual gifts. And let's just recount them for just a brief moment. First of all, the gift of prophecy. The gift of the prophet, the prophetess, was what we'll see again tonight as we look at the message tonight. But the ministry of prophecy was one that was not so much... Well, the New Testament is as much as forth-telling, declaring the good news of the Word of God. In the Old Testament, it was foretelling as well, and foretelling the future that God has for his people. Excuse me, wants his people to know. But the truth is, God's given to some people in the church the spiritual gift of prophecy. Now, what does that mean? It means that you probably are someone who feels very strongly about the importance of preaching the Word of God, and that there is no substitute, as W.T. prayed this morning, for the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. And the person with the spiritual gift of prophecy would probably not take lightly the warnings in the Word of God and the admonitions in the Word of God, but as every opportunity and every door opens up, would seek to share those things in a way that responds, hopefully the response will be one of urgency and obedience and compliance to the things of God. Every church is complete when the body of believers exhibits and demonstrates and practices their spiritual gift. Now, on the spiritual gift end of things, the gift of prophecy is probably on one end, and the gift of mercy is probably on another. Now, that doesn't mean they contradict each other. They just have different emphases, and we need them both. We need a harsh word. For example, my friend Jack Nelson. Jack, where are you? There you are. When I lose some weight, I want to borrow that vest. But every once in a while, Jack will say, "Preacher, it's time for your hellfire and brimstone sermon." Amen. People with the spiritual gift of prophecy like to hear their preacher preach on hellfire and brimstone. And the truth is, we all need that to be reminded of it occasionally. There's the gift of prophecy. Then we looked at the gift of ministry or hospitality or service. This is really one of my favorites, and they're all my favorites, but the truth is, I begin looking at you as a congregation, and I see those that I believe may have the gift of prophecy, and I see those that I believe may have the gift of hospitality or service or ministry. And in fact, I think that's going on outside right now by the grill. It really is. I think Danny is a wonderful example, and Debbie of hospitality. They seem to thrive on blessing people and getting people involved in ministry. And if that's your spiritual gift, you've been blessed beyond measure, then the same way as you have if your spiritual gift is prophecy. Then there was a spiritual gift of teaching. That doesn't mean that if you don't have the spiritual gift of teaching, you can't teach, but it simply means if that's your spiritual gift, that's your motivational gift. That's what turns you on. That's what gets you motivated. That really gets you involved. You love to teach. You love to prepare. You love to share truth that changes lives. And that's what spiritual gifts do, the exercise of spiritual gifts. Prophecy, ministry, and hospitality, and service, and then teaching. And the fourth spiritual gift was one on encouragement or exhortation. And for several years, I believed that my spiritual gift, my primary gift, was the gift of prophecy. But I came to realize later on that with the affirmation of others who have known me for a long time and have walked with us in the Christian journey for a long time, they encouraged me to consider perhaps that encouragement might be the primary spiritual gift that I've had for these years. And I began to look at the opportunities God's given me to encourage other pastors. For 14 years, I had the wonderful joy of being in evangelism. I traveled, I was gone most of the time, about 40, 45 weeks a year. And one of the things that I found out was God needed somebody to encourage his pastors. Pastors everywhere are in trouble. I remember one day going to a revival in East Tennessee. And I did not know the pastor very well. I had met him, but I did not know him well. I got there the night before. And he and I met at the church and had a time of prayer together. And he asked me, he said, will you please tomorrow just handle the service, the invitation, all that. Would you just handle it? And I would appreciate it if you'd do that. Well, that was not too unusual. So I said, I'd be glad to. And I remember the next morning, revival began. And when it came time for the end of the service, for the invitation, I extended the invitation, and I realized the pastor who had been seated on the front row, slipped off the pew and down to his hands and knees and crawled across the carpet to the pulpit, to the pew rather, to the altar, laid his face on the altar and was weeping like a child. You see, his son had just been arrested for dealing drugs. His daughter had just told the family that she's expecting a child and she wasn't married. And deacons had already met and decided it was time for him to go. So his world was crashing in around him. His world was falling in around him. And what happened was he needed exhortation. He needed encouragement. And through the years, I've had the opportunity to hear from that pastor, and he'll say things such as, "Pastor, you'll never know about that day how God used you as you came to minister to our church." That's not just humanly speaking. That's of the Holy Spirit of God. That's a God thing. And so the gift of encouragement. By the way, you don't have to have the gift of encouragement to be an encourager. You can bless somebody. In fact, we choose when we get up in the morning, we choose whether or not we're going to be a blessing or how we're going to respond to people. Thank God for those encouragers God brings into our lives. Then we looked at the gift of giving and realized that giving was the responsibility of every believer, but the opportunity for some to exercise in an unusual way, in a very generous way usually, the opportunity to give to kingdom causes for God's honor and God's glory. And somebody with the gift of giving loves to invest in things they believe in and have a conviction that it's of the Lord and it's a spiritual gift. Not everybody who is able to give financially has a spiritual gift of giving, but those who do don't have to be wealthy. The truth is, wherever your resources are, that your ministry is giving as God lays it on your heart. And we looked at that for a little while just a couple of Sundays ago. Then we looked at the ruling and said that the term leadership and or administration comes to mind as we think about the spiritual gift of leadership. Every church needs gifted leaders. I said last Sunday that every church and every organization, every entity rises and falls with leadership. Whether it's a school, whether it's a business, whether it's a church, leadership is essential. And the person with the spiritual gift of leadership loves, most of the time, will love administration and love the responsibilities of serving and their ministry of ruling or leadership or administration. But if that is your source, if that's your source of blessing and you thrive on doing that kind of thing, it may be your spiritual gift is leadership or administration. And then today, the spiritual gift of mercy. I found myself amazed at how wonderfully God uses His Word to speak to our hearts. And as I spent time dealing with the spiritual gift of mercy, I thought, Lord, what a beautiful picture of the ministry and the life of Jesus. If there is any one word, the gift of God's love or the gift of God's mercy, let's go back to Calvary for just a moment and think about the gift of God displayed in mercy. There, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. I have been amazed when I think about the mercy of God. Everywhere Jesus went, he was a bearer of mercy. The woman at the well in Samaria did not have any idea that Jesus was about to minister her in a way she could not have ever imagined. Jesus said, I've come to give you living water. And that day she said, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. And he still loved me and extended mercy to my heart. And there's that thief on the cross. And we could use so many. There's blind Bartimaeus. There's Nicodemus. And on the list could go. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. If ever the mercy of God was demonstrated, it was this dying thief condemned by a court to die. And Jesus said, today will be your first day in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so the wonderful gift of mercy that we look at today is let's just define it. It can be defined in a number of ways. One way We use the term mercy described in your outline. The God-given ability to manifest practical, compassionate, cheerful love towards suffering members of the body of Christ. And I would add, or people who doesn't have to be in the body of Christ. It could be anybody, anywhere. But particularly, you have the opportunity to minister to brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing it is. Let me read that again. The God-given ability to manifest practical, compassionate, cheerful love towards suffering members of the body of Christ. Thank God for people with a spiritual gift of mercy. You ever had anybody when you were on your lowest ebb and you were at the bottom of the well, so to speak, God just brought them across your path and across your into your life, and they just kind of you were perked up by their presence or their wisdom or the consideration of their care, or maybe just by their words of affirmation and encouragement. Mercy displayed. Well, let's look at the gift of mercy. There are 10 things that I want us to look at. There could be many others, but let's look at these 10. And they could possibly describe, maybe it describes you. I must confess, as I was getting this ready, a name of somebody in our church did come to my mind. And I'll reserve by telling you who it is a little bit later, all right? Those are the gift of mercy, most likely, most probably. How would you recognize them? Well, here are some traits that scholars through the ages have compiled from the testimony of Scripture that might characterize a person with a spiritual gift of mercy. The person with the spiritual gift of mercy probably has the desire to move to the hurters. Move and drawn to people out of compassion because we have experienced an interest in people. And we know people are hurting and struggling all around us. And the person's spiritual gift of mercy gravitates toward those who are struggling, gravitates toward those who are the hurters. And I've seen this through the years in so many lives of people who their ministry is ministering to people who are struggling. And what a spiritual gift that is, thankful to the Lord. Number two, the person's spiritual gift of mercy probably has an ability to sense the joy or distress of others. You may not have to tell them what's going on in your life, but something about you and your countenance, something about how you carry yourself or how you communicate, sends a signal to them that suggests to them that you're going through a tough time, a hard time, a difficult time. An ability to sense the joy or distress of others. I was blessed years ago to have the opportunity to preach at a state evangelism conference that was held in a local area at First Baptist Church in Fayetteville. And there was a group of pastors that were meeting before church that night and before me and others who were going to preach came to the platform. And one of our brethren came in that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And I sensed that something was awry in his life. If I called his name, many of you would know him. And I just sensed he was struggling and I didn't know what was going on. But I asked him if we could pray for him, and I gathered the preachers around and they all laid hands on our preacher brother and prayed that God would bless him and God would minister to his every need. I still didn't have any idea what was going on in his life, but he told me later on he was at a low ebb in his life. He was struggling. And he said, "Jackie, you'll never know what that meant that night when my pastor buddies gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed for me." A sense of joy, a sense of the joy or distress in others. And you don't have to have that spiritual gift to be able to do that. But if you do have that spiritual gift, what a blessing it is. An ability to identify, number three, with others empathetically. Now, you know the difference in sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is when you have a burden for and a care for someone else, and that's sympathy. But if you have it for someone else who you sense is going down the same road you're going through down or you've been down, and you can sense their pain and feel their hurt because of what you're going through, or what you've been through, that's empathy. Empathy is struggling alongside of somebody. Sympathy is struggling for them and praying for them in courage. We need both of those. But the person with the spiritual gift of mercy can identify with others empathetically because they've been down that same road. Don't waste your struggles. You see, every time God brings you through a valley, God's going to bring somebody into your life that needs your word of encouragement, your word of affirmation. God will get you through. God's not through with you. God's got a plan for you. We'll talk about the gift of mercy. Number four, and I smiled when I saw this one. See the person's gift of mercy sees little benefit in pain, suffering, distress, or sorrow. Think about it. A lot of folks will remind us that those sorrows and difficulties are for our good and for God's glory. The person with the spiritual gift of mercy would a whole lot rather minister to somebody that's blessed and happy and the sun's shining and they're tuned to the Lord. But they see little benefit in pain, suffering, distress, or sorrow. And they find themselves, it's a lot easier to minister to folks that aren't going through a valley than it is those that are. And just seems to be a quality of some people, the gift of mercy. Number five, I like this one. And when I was aware of number five, this is the one that a name came to me of a member of our church that probably would have this gift. Anybody who is very sensitive to statements and actions that may hurt others. Somebody with a tender heart who is sensitive to the hurt and the pain and the struggle of others. He wants to see them encouraged and blessed and motivated down the road in a way that brings honor and glory to God. They're sensitive to the actions that may hurt others. You ever seen somebody that wants to come to the rescue of somebody else that's under attack? Maybe they're under attack with their circumstances or by personalities. And sometimes God can use a spiritual gift to motivate somebody to come to your side when you're going through a storm. Number six, may have a greater tendency to be wounded themselves. The person with the spiritual gift of mercy finds themselves identifying with others that are either being mistreated or have been hurt or have been wounded. And they easily take up an offense or have a tendency to do that. So it's such as it with the person who has a spiritual gift of mercy. Number seven, an ability to discern genuine love. An ability to discern, to be perceptive, if you will, regarding somebody's love for the Lord Jesus or their love for you or their affirmation of you. An ability to discern whether that's genuine or not. Number eight, the person with the gift of mercy, probably, will have a great need for friendships where there is mutual commitment. They need to have somebody they can talk to, somebody close to them. They thrive on friendships that are of like heart and like mind and like spiritual commitment. Number nine, the person with the spiritual gift of mercy has a willingness to make personal sacrifices to help others. Has a willingness to make sacrifices that will help others. There have been those God has brought into my life that have blessed me. But I wondered when they had gone away, how did they know what I was going through? How did they know what I was experiencing? How did they know how I felt? But the person with the spiritual gift of mercy has a spiritual antenna up and is aware sometimes, just by the grace of God, that you may be struggling. And number 10, the person with the gift of mercy has a great desire to and commitment to harmony and unity. This person has an innate desire to conduct him or herself in such a way as to promote harmony and unity and one accord in the family of faith. And on the opposite side of that coin, they're grieved when the harmony is disrupted. They're grieved when the harmony is disturbed. And that gift of mercy calls out for there to be one heart, one mind, one life, one ministry, one service in the kingdom of our Lord. Such is the mercy displayed. But I want to close, share with you, if I may, that scene on Calvary's cross one more time. Jesus, I think, identified for us somebody else who had the gift of mercy. Could it be that John the Apostle may have had the spiritual gift of mercy? You see, he was one of the inner circle of Jesus. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transformed. It was John who was at the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Joseph wasn't there. The scholars have supposed he probably had said passed away several years before. But John was there. And John was there because something compelled him to stand by the side of his master's mama. And that's why Jesus died, hanging on the cross, robed in his own blood, the most horrific death any man could die. John was there comforting the mother of Jesus, extending mercy as he saw mercy dying on a Calvary's cross for his sins. John saw the thief on the cross as mercy was extended to him. And John, no doubt, Jesus said to John, John, behold thy mother. And he said to Mary, Mama, behold thy son. And he said, y'all need each other. Stand by each other, encourage each other. Be a support to each other. And in mercy, he said, John, take care. Don't you know Mary's life had fallen apart?
Yes.
No reason to go on. The last thing Jesus did before going to Calvary and before he died on the cross was extend an expression of mercy and ministry and kindness to his mother and to John. God will get you through the hardest, difficult, most terrible day of your life. Y'all need each other. Stand alongside each other. Exercise your spiritual gift, if that was it. Because God wants to use you to help other people get along in life and be victorious. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? It means God has uniquely gifted you. If you haven't discovered what your spiritual gift is, pray about it. And maybe ask others who know you well if for their insight. It may surprise you. But most of all, realize that you don't have to do a study of spiritual gifts to be aware that Jesus wants to extend his mercy to you. This morning, the merciful hand of an almighty God is stretched forth to those that are struggling, those that are hurting, those that are lost, those that have never given their life to Jesus. On the cross, he died in our place, but he extended his hand of mercy to every sinner. If we'll confess that he's Lord and turn from our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the mercy of God bless you every day of your life. Jesus reminded us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you get to heaven, don't be surprised if somebody comes up to you and says, God used you to get me through a tough time. God used you to encourage me and bless me along life's way. Thank you for being my encourager and my merciful encourager. Let's bow together, shall we? Church of Faith, the regular tenders alike, to stay for our meal. We have plenty, and we'll be making our way up here to the fellowship hall in just a minute. All right? Go ahead. There. Josiah's going to lead us in praying, our benediction, and our blessing for our meal. Okay?
Josiah. All right, let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for the blessing of being in your house today. Thank you for teaching us to love each other and to love you. Thank you for all you do for us. Bless those who need you today. Please guide us through and bless us through this day. Thank you for the food you have provided. Bless the hands that prepared it. Amen.
Amen.